Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
This is America Today on the Voice America Kids channel. Each week we discuss what's going on in news and politics. Now, here is the host of America Today.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the program America Today on Voice America Kids Network. I'm your host, Mackenzie Arias. So let's get started because we have a pretty hard-hitting topic today. We're going to talk about Osama bin Laden's death today. And this has sparked a lot of attention in America. Obviously, this is huge in the news right now. And if you don't know the details, then about a week ago, Obama announced that America had successfully killed bin Laden, and that, you know, they infiltrated where he was staying in Pakistan, and that they also had removed a lot of other threats. And that it was supposed to be sort of like a security for America. And when Obama made the announcement, he stopped a lot of the television shows. And I don't know if you were there when he actually made the speech, but I was watching TV at the time. And the president, you know, announced that he was going to have this speech, like, I don't know, it was about almost 10 o'clock at night where I was living. And it was so spontaneous and nobody knew what was happening. And then all of a sudden, Obama comes out and he just says that we have successfully killed Osama bin Laden. It was pretty shocking. Americans have a really good idea of who Osama bin Laden is. You know, I don't even know how to explain it. I'm sort of at a loss for words because there are two reactions to this. If you can remember maybe where you were when you heard about this, it sort of brought feelings back from 9/11. And I don't know if you were old enough when you remember what happened with 9/11, but I'm just going to share a little bit what happened, what I remember. I was probably about 6 years old, and I was getting ready for school, and the TV was on. It scared me, and I was too young at the time to, I guess, really realize how huge this was, but even being a six-year-old child, I knew that something important happened, and my mom tried to explain it to me as best as she could. You know, I was only 6 years old. I didn't really understand. But then when you saw the second plane crash, I mean, that was a pretty traumatizing experience, and it's something that I'm probably going to remember for the rest of my life. It was an historic experience in a bad way. Been so used to being raised as being like one of the number one or even the number one nation and sort of being this invincible force. And when 9/11 happened, it scared a lot of people, and a lot of people lost their confidence in the government and in the military. And President Bush said that he would try his best and they would do all they could to try and stop these threats. And ever since 9/11, bin Laden has been number one threat to American security. And so the reason why I bring up 9/11 is not only did bin Laden take credit for it, he said that this whole thing was his plan. And if you can even remember the videos that he would send to America, I don't know if you've ever watched any of them. They make me uncomfortable watching them, but he felt so accomplished of what he had done at 9/11, and he was saying that he didn't expect it to go over so well, and he was very egotistical. But anyways, going back to his death, so the reason why I did bring up my feelings from 9/11 is whenever I saw Obama give his speech on bin Laden's death when he announced it, it sort of brought back those same feelings. It was so spontaneous. It seemed like it just happened. And Obama did mention that he had information about 8 months before the actual death, and that they sort of knew where he was, and they tried the week before. They had this plan down, and they secured it, and they just went and did it. But the strange thing is that nobody really knew about it. It was a lot like the terrorist attack on 9/11, you know, nobody expected any of this to happen. And when it did, people just didn't know how to react to it. And I remember maybe like 10 minutes after this speech was already starting, a lot of my friends, if you're social networking, you just jumped right on that, right? You got on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you saw all of your friends on there, and they responded in pretty interesting ways. And I think one of the more interesting aspects of this phenomena is that a lot of people are being divided because of this. And I just want to say that Osama bin Laden was the number one threat to American security. And when we had successfully removed that threat, I guess what was supposed to happen is that Americans are supposed to feel more secure because of this. You know, the nation's number one threat has been removed. He's no longer going to danger us. And it's, I guess a lot of people don't know how to react to something because he did die. And there's still human dignity that comes along with that. But I thought it was more interesting that people were being divided because of this, and it sort of created enemies. You know, this thing that this threat was removed from America, and it's supposed to endanger us, and yet people, instead of uniting and coming together like I expected to happen whenever 9/11 happened, you know, we all had these community events. I remember at school the very day, and I think it was even on to the very next couple of weeks, we always had these things. We put on these shirts that had a heart and they had the American flag in it, and we would sit around in a circle and we would sing songs, and we would just, I went to a religious school, so we also prayed, and we would just talk about it for a little bit. This didn't happen with bin Laden's death. People are divided because of it. I just thought it was so strange that something that was supposed to bring, I guess, and maybe I'm not using the appropriate word, but security, just a little bit more security to Americans, actually just made us kind of argue with each other a little bit, because there are two sides to this reaction. One of them is that, you know, we should celebrate Osama bin Laden's death because he was the threat to our nation, and now he's gone, and, you know, no more of that, and yay. But then there's also another side to it where people are saying he's still a human being, and it's kind of creepy almost that we're celebrating somebody's death. And even though he was a threat, we're still celebrating somebody dying. And isn't that sort of what Osama bin Laden was doing? I mean, we're sort of being hypocrites there. And it is a little awkward to talk about it, because I really don't want to offend anybody here. I'm trying to be as careful as I can and tiptoe around things that I know are going to be dangerous and things that are going to make people mad. And I'm not really afraid of that, but this is a huge deal, and it's pretty sensitive, and it's kind of awkward, and I'm not 100% sure on my position on this either. But let's just talk about a little bit of what other people are saying. Forget about me for a little bit. So some people are criticizing the president for this. I thought that was kind of weird, but it really just reflects people's disrespect for our president. People are saying that why couldn't Obama have done this sooner, because he knew about where bin Laden was 8 months ago. I mean, I don't think that we really have any right to assume that Obama was just, you know, waiting for it. It's not like he 8 months ago knew exactly where he was and said, okay, let's just do this, because I don't think that we have all of the information. I mean, the government clearly isn't giving us everything, but that's because they choose to do that for our own safety. And I don't think we have the right to say that it's Obama's fault for waiting so long. I mean, we didn't even know about this 8 months ago, and it happened, and nobody was hurt. There were no American casualties in this. So why are we choosing to criticize Obama for this? He's the figure for America. He's the father figure, I guess you could say. And I just don't understand how something that was supposed to be good for America, I guess, why we choose to criticize the president for that. And I think what's happening here is this is such a huge deal, and there's so many kind of like awkward parts to it that a lot of people are just choosing to throw their opinions out that they thought before this happened. Like, you know, I don't like the president. And then when this happens, it just gives them more of a reason to bash on the president a little bit. And can you even believe? Okay, I heard this all the time. I listen to talk radio, my local radio stations. And can you believe they brought up the birth certificate whole ordeal? Now, if you don't remember this, which it's just been pretty big too, but you know, Obama was being criticized because he didn't bring out his whole birth certificate, and people were saying, well, he might not be a citizen, so he shouldn't be the president. It was a really weird thing. But then he finally brought it out like a week before Osama bin Laden was shot and killed, and some people were saying that it was Obama's fault for making his birth certificate a big deal during this whole, like, Osama bin Laden's death time. People are criticizing him for putting those together when, I mean, do they even understand what they're trying to say? Why are they criticizing him for the birth certificate thing? You know, and Obama even said himself that it was a waste of his time, and he believed that American people believed that he was the citizen. He was born in Hawaii, where he said, and he said it was just, he just brought it out. The government released photos of it and everything. And he's like, okay, we're done with this. He didn't even take questions on it. And now people are saying that he made it too big of a deal and that he shouldn't have, when this whole, this news about bin Laden's death happening, like a week later. Which I don't really understand, because I don't think people know exactly what they're insinuating. But let's talk a little bit more about that and a little bit more about Osama bin Laden's death after this break. So keep it right here. I'm your host, Mackenzie Arias, and you're listening to Voice America Kids.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m. whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes, because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3, that's 6 p.m. Eastern, is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel. You're listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Hey, welcome back to the program, America Today on Voice America Kids Network. I'm your host, Mackenzie Urias, and right now we're talking about Osama bin Laden's death. And so, a little bit before the break, I was talking about how people are criticizing Obama. And a lot of people are very opinionated about this, and it's understandable because it's such an emotional and historical thing. So, do you have an opinion on this? I'm pretty sure that most of you have something to say about this, and even if it's something against what I would say, you know, I want to hear it. So, if you'd like to email the show, just send it to voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. Just make sure you mention my name, Mackenzie Urias, and then mention the name of my show, America Today. So, a little bit before the break, again, I was talking about how people are criticizing Obama. And a lot of people are also criticizing the military. It was kind of weird because I remember, like, 3 weeks before this happened, there were a lot of people protesting against military forces just existing at all. And this was something that happened in the news. It was very minor. It didn't get a lot of attention, which was sort of surprising. But it did, it got a tiny bit of airtime in my local TV shows, or TV news stations, that is. And people were protesting at military officers' funerals saying that war is terrible and we need to stop it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later. People are also criticizing the military for not doing it sooner. It's just a terrible assumption to make. But finally, people are also saying that we're celebrating this, and it's not really what we should be doing because we are celebrating a death, and, you know, we are all human after all. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the military arguments here, and a lot of people, especially like recently before this happened, a lot of people were saying that the military should, you know, go back home and that they have no reason to be in any of these foreign countries and that, you know, we need to stop war by basically just pulling out. And I think that this Osama bin Laden's death just shows that the military did have an agenda. I remember hearing tons of criticism, and I still do, where, you know, some people are saying that the military doesn't have an agenda, that they don't know why they're there. And I heard a couple of, and even talk radio show hosts in my local area, say that they have military friends who say that they don't know why they're there. But I think that's a lot of exaggeration, because this was an important mission, and we America made this our mission for years. Ever since 9/11, it's been our number one priority, and Obama himself had said that. And so I hope that this shows that our military is there for a reason, and I hope that people learn to respect the military a little bit more, because we don't, bottom line, we don't have all of the information, you know. The government has to hide, not necessarily hide, but they're trying to keep some things from us for our, you know, our safety and our comfort. We won't want to know all of the details, and we don't want, you know, other foreign countries knowing all of the details. We don't want our enemies knowing about all of the details. And so the government sort of has to not tell us everything. But, I mean, we don't know what goes into military operations. And for the people who say that, you know, we should have done this sooner, we knew about his position 8 months ago, you have no right to say that, because you have no idea what goes into this. And Obama was saying that he waited and he had this very, very careful plan because he didn't want any civilians to be hurt. And we're talking about the local Pakistani people, and none of those people were hurt. Nobody innocent was hurt in this. And I think that is a very important and very relieving bit of information. And so that's all I really have to say about the military. But my heart goes out to all those people serving right now, and I really respect what you've done, and I hope that through this a lot of people understand why you're there, and we deeply respect you and we appreciate everything that you've done. And so now I'm going to talk a little bit about this celebrating. This is a really hard thing to talk about because I had to think about it a little bit at first. I remember when I was just listening to Obama's speech, I was thinking, I was very emotional because it did bring back some feelings from 9/11. And so I sort of thought, you know, justice has been served, and I got a little excited. But then you wait on it and you think about this for a week and you start to think about the morality of this. You know, we are celebrating a death, and it's sort of disturbing that we would, you know, we'd celebrate something like that. I mean, we did give him a proper burial, a traditional Islamic burial, and I think that shows a little bit of the respect we have. You know, we weren't terribly rude about it, as rude as we could have been. We still have a little bit of humanity, and we realize human dignity. And I think this is a really dangerous and hard conclusion to come to, but I don't think that we're focusing on the right thing here. We seem to be focusing on that somebody who is evil is dead. And that's a very dangerous thing to think about, because it sort of turns you into somebody who's malicious. And always, if you think about an enemy, it not only does it sort of provoke you to create your own personal enemies, but it also makes you hate your enemies that much more and want them to suffer in horrible ways. And that's losing that really important part of humanity. That's losing that voice inside your head that tells you what's right and what's wrong. And I really hope that people understand what they're sacrificing when they celebrate this death. And now I'm not saying that this shouldn't have happened, because this is very important for American security. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with American enemies. I wonder if there's going to be any power struggles or anything. But I think if we are to celebrate, and I don't really want to use that word, but if we are to show joy over something, then it should be that a threat is gone. And that should be sort of our focusing point. It shouldn't be that somebody's dead. And I think it's also important to remember that just because Osama bin Laden was killed, you know, the threat of terrorism isn't over. It's not gone. It's still something that's very real, and it's still something that's very dangerous. But I think this is a very important thing that's happened, because it's shown that America can do, and this is a quote from Obama, America can do whatever it sets its mind on doing. And I think that it'll create some unity eventually, once all these emotional reactions are over. I hope that this strengthens American spirit and puts a little bit of faith back into our military. So that's about it for that story. Now we're going to talk about immigration, and this is a huge topic right now. I live in a state where immigration is a huge problem, and Obama has said something recently about immigration. So Obama is talking about this DREAM Act, and if you don't know about the DREAM Act, it'll grant citizenship to immigrants who came here legally, as long as they are enrolled in college or they serve the military. And he wants people to earn citizenship. And Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Maricopa County's in Arizona, which is where immigration is a huge deal, and Governor Jan Brewer are totally criticizing Obama. They hate this idea. They totally oppose it. They think that the government needs to actually step up their immigration patrol. And Obama, he said something that was sort of humorous about this. He said that, you know, what do they want? Do they want a moat with alligators in it? I mean, what else can we do? It's creating a lot of tension, and a lot of people are getting divided on this. But Obama says that a citizen of America is one who embraces American values. So here's the deal. There's 11 million immigrants currently in the United States. And Obama says that we shouldn't blame the children and we shouldn't punish them for the mistakes of their parents. So parents who, adults who a long time ago crossed the borders illegally, and they had like maybe newborns or very, very small children who couldn't necessarily make a decision for themselves. Those children, because they couldn't make a conscious decision and didn't really know about the laws of immigration, they shouldn't be deported because they didn't consciously break the law. It was sort of their parents. But Jan Brewer and Joe Arpaio, definitely within their state, Arizona, they've stepped up their illegal immigration efforts to remove it. And if you remember SB 1070 and just Sheriff Joe Arpaio in general, how he's doing a lot of crime sweeping, and it's sort of being tacked as racist, sort of. This immigration thing is a huge deal, and there are a lot of people that have opinions on what we should do about this, and it is something that the government can't decide because of this conflict, you know, with Arizona and the government. It's something that's dividing people all over, and so there are three things that could possibly happen, three feasible options, I guess. We could deport all of the illegal immigrants in America currently. We could keep them and then close our borders. Or we could grant citizenship to everybody. And that last one sort of it's sort of facetious. So let's take a break, and then we're going to look at the moral and actual aspects of this. But keep it right here. I'm Mackenzie Reyes, and you're listening to Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't, which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. Put them together and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. You just love your pets. But sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. You are listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome back to the program, America Today on Voice America Kids Network. I'm your host, Mackenzie Urias, and our topic right now is immigration. So, I was talking a little bit about, just a little bit before, what's going on with immigration right now. The Dream Act with Obama and how the Arizona governor, Jan Brewer, is opposing this and says that the government needs to step up illegal immigration. And so this issue sort of brings these moral questions, philosophical questions. You know, what does it mean to be a citizen, and what values does America want to showcase to not only Americans themselves, but globally? And what kind of message are we sending in general? And so whenever I was writing this show, I was being kind of torn in my opinions. I mean, I still don't have a really sure answer on my stance on illegal immigration. I mean, really what we should do. And again, if you have opinions, though, and if you'd like to email the show, just send it to voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. Make sure you mention my name, Mackenzie Arias, and mention the name of my show, America Today. So I guess it really depends on how we're seeing immigration, and how what seems to be the thing that we're trying to prevent. Because the question that we seem to be implying is, what can immigrants do for us? You know, that's sort of, we always look at what are they going to do to our jobs, and what labor are they going to offer, and, you know, if we're going to have some burden because of them. Or maybe it's something positive, like maybe they're going to provide military service, or they'll actually increase competition, or if you're being purely economical, or something like that. But I mean, is that how we really want to look at it? If the people who are immigrating here illegally are going to provide service for us, you know, through military service or just college, they become educated and so they can provide something. It just seems to be the question that we always take into consideration. You know, if we have a bunch of people come over, but yet we make them educated, we require for them to be educated or for them to protect us, then it's okay. But it's sort of sending the wrong message, maybe, that you commit a crime and then you make up for it by serving us or getting an education. And it's something that I've been struggling with. You know, I don't want America to have messed up moral values, and it's pretty hard for a nation to be morally pure. And I know that we try to do the best that we can, but there are still a lot of mistakes that we make, and it's for the sake of maybe economic success or something else. I mean, it sort of seems to be a cliche, but at the same time, it is also true. You can sacrifice morality for efficiency. And I wonder what, like, why are we so afraid of immigrants in the first place? I wonder if people think that they're, you know, some people are saying that they're going to take our jobs, or that it's going to bring up crime, or they're just going to be an ailment to society because they're going to get on welfare, or they won't know the language, and so we're going to have to slow things down for them, or they won't be able to contribute to society enough. And some people who are standing up for immigrants are saying that we need to treat people with dignity, and so we should give them citizenship. And I'm a little bit I'm torn on this, because I don't think that dignity means that we should give them citizenship, because they still committed a crime, and America has the right to decide what is a crime within its own boundaries. And so, I mean, it is true that human beings in general have unalienable rights, but the fact that, you know, treating us with dignity, playing this human card, like, I'm a human being, so this is how you should treat me, it doesn't really work with citizenship, because I don't think that citizenship is necessarily a right if you weren't born there. You know, I think that you should abide with the country's laws that you're trying to get into. And I'm not saying that people who are illegal immigrants are, you know, are using that defense, but the people that that are for illegal immigration or that are for, you know, giving them citizenship, not necessarily that they're for committing a crime, but I just don't believe that because you're human, you should become a citizen of the United States. That's not sending, I don't believe that it's sending an American message. And while I think that the Dream Act is sort of a nice castle in the air, you know, it's a really nice theory, I wonder if it really works. But I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, because right now I want to talk to you a bit about some of the different arguments. One of the arguments is that our founding fathers have said that everybody is equal, and, you know, in general, America was founded by immigrants, and that's been our cornerstone. It's been our building block since America has been America. But I also want to think a little bit about how legitimate that is, and how much of that can be used as ammunition for an argument, because times change, and what works now and the values that we have now and what we want to implement now might not be what future generations want or what will work for future generations. And when I was reading my manual for economics, we were talking a bit how theories that may work, even though they are perfect, they might not work for people of different times. And so that's why you see, I guess in Europe, for example, they had monarchies for a very long time. And then it sort of seemed like the wrong people got into the wrong place at the wrong time and just something happened. If you look at the French Revolution, just Louis XVI, he was the wrong guy. And the peasants, they were just the wrong people. And so they revolted against the monarchy, and then they had sort of this weird democracy-ish type thing. And we sort of looked at it as that monarchies in general were corrupt, but then we sort of realized that maybe it's not monarchies that are corrupt, but it's just that the theory didn't work for that time. So the reason I'm bringing this up is that in economics, we were studying that perfect theories aren't going to be perfect and transcend through time. And so when we say that the founding fathers have had these different values and that we need to preserve those values because that's what America was founded upon, I have to question the legitimacy of that, because, you know, the values that we have now are influenced by so many things, by such current fears and the things that we're currently learning, the things that we're currently immersing ourselves into. And I wonder if future generations are going to think completely differently about things like this. And so I don't really know if we can use the founding fathers have said that, you know, we need, or not necessarily the founding fathers have said, but that America was built on immigration, and so we should let everybody who wants to come in just come in without, you know, going through citizenship. But I mean, even ancient philosophers, you know, those ones that we fall asleep learning about in history class, you know, Greece and China and et cetera. I mean, they've always told us that we shouldn't listen to authority just because they're authority. You know, challenge what's right and challenge what you believe in and learn things for yourself. And even in Confucius said that they must often change who would be constant in happiness or wisdom. So in order for us to be constantly happy and successful and wise, and this is America, we should change. And so maybe it is time to change our values a little bit, and it's for the sake of something better. But I also do have to wonder what that better is. What are we really trying to preserve here? Are we trying to preserve economic success or morality? And I don't know. I guess we really just have to look at what goals America wants to accomplish. But America does have the right to close their borders because we recognize it as a country, recognize it as independent, and that it can't submit to anything higher than itself. And so it's not that America has no right to not grant citizenship to people. And that's another argument that I just want to to clarify that shouldn't really be an argument necessarily. But at the same time, we are always afraid that these immigrants are going to become criminals. But, I mean, we let liars and cheaters and kidnappers and murderers behind bars stay citizens. Why don't they get to leave? You know, we are always afraid that people from different cultures are going to be such a threat to American security. But at the same time, we're not looking at our own citizens. You know, we raise murderers and we raise criminals. And so I don't think that we're looking at people equally here. And I know that cultures are different and that people are different, but I don't think we're evaluating people as fairly as we could. And I sort of seem to have a natural attraction to pragmatism. What would really work? And this is when I'm going to bring back the Dream Act, and that it's a nice dreamy theory. But I wonder if it's really going to work. And when I use work, I mean, is it going to bring all of these goals that America wants to bring? And, you know, we have to look at who's going to abuse the immigration system and, you know, like, what cost is it going to have? Because a lot of people are scared that it's going to bring economic failure or that we're going to have this burden of a lot of people going on welfare. But I think we really need to clarify what it means to be a citizen. And I struggle with the concept that because you're born on American soil, that America should always protect you. And I know that that's sort of just what it is to be a citizen. But I struggle to find consistency with this theory than yet say that people who are from other countries can't be, you know, they're always going to be criminals, or there's always going to be a threat of criminals. But let's take a break. I'm Mackenzie Arias. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun, times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back to the favorite TV shows of our childhood, your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take Two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There is so much going on in the tech field. The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here. And because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected. You're listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome back to the program, America Today on Voice America Kids Network. I'm your host, Mackenzie Arias, and right now we're talking about immigration. So a little bit before the break, I was talking to you about what it means to be a citizen, and maybe it's time to redefine that. And I think what makes America so such a great country is that we have a system of checks and balances. And, you know, this system was designed for, you know, the times to change. And what basically that means is that you have these government figures, people who make decisions, but you also have them ruling over a giant populace. So that way, you know, you have that giant populace electing these government officials. And so what happens is that there's no central authority. And because of that, you know, you don't have people depending on one person's opinions or one group's opinions and actions. And so if somebody has something like a corrupt value or something like just a bad decision in general, it won't affect us that much because we're going to have all these other people saying, you know, that's not right, you shouldn't do that, and we won't stand for it. But in America, this works so nicely because we have like a pseudo-democracy where we can elect people and we have equal vote, but we also have a republic because we choose people to rule over us. And so that way, you know, we don't have a mob rule with the majority, but we don't have, you know, just an autocracy. And so the reason why I bring that up is because we can decide to redefine things. And is it time to redefine what it means to be a citizen and how you become a citizen? A little bit before the break, I was talking to you about how, you know, maybe we've been wrong this whole time and saying that we have like these things that are set in stone, and that because our founding fathers have said, you know, that this, or maybe not our founding fathers, but America was founded upon these immigrants coming in and forming America. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that we should always have these views. Times change, and the things that work in society definitely change. And so I think we should just, maybe we should talk a little bit about how you become a citizen, because I find a huge problem with the process of becoming a citizen. I think there's a little bit of problems on both sides. Becoming a citizen in terms of the government providing citizenship and the people who are actually going to get citizenship. And so basically, to become a citizen, you have to go through this huge application process. You have to pay a ton of money. You have to wait years and years, and you have to take a citizenship test. And I know a couple of my family members are not from America, and they've been trying to get citizenship for years, and it's really hard to get it. And so I think that the citizenship process should be reformed too. They should streamline it. They should make it easier. They should still make it careful. You know, we don't want just anybody becoming a citizen. But at the same time, I don't want, you know, the incentive to do something illegal increase because it's so hard and it's so costly to become a citizen that it's just easier if I just break the rules and I cross the border and I won't get caught and stuff. And so those are obvious things that we need to fix. But what does it mean to be a citizen? And what is it, what are American values? Is it capitalism? Is it equality? I guess I don't really know. These are questions that I've been struggling with basically ever since I've been thinking about this. And how do you test somebody for American values? We have like a paper test sort of. And if we start being so selective about the citizenship process in general, like you have to fail. If you fail this test, you don't become a citizen. With questions like, who was the first president? These are pretty obvious if you were born in America, but I wonder how these really teach American values. I wonder if foreigners are just reiterating them. They're not really learning American values properly. And so that's something I also think we should work on, is that citizens should be actual citizens. And Obama's definition of what a citizen is, you know, embracing American values, I think that we need to regulate that. I think we need to do that a lot better than we do right now. Just asking these questions like, who was the first president of the United States? I mean, a lot of you think that's totally obvious and easy. You can get that down right away. That's because you're American and you've been immersed into American culture and values and society. But with foreigners, it's not going to be that obvious. It's not going to be that quick. But you can learn American values. It's hard to teach values with questions and facts just straight up. Like, George Washington was the first president of the United States. And in 1864 and in 1776 and et cetera. I mean, I really wonder how you can learn values like that. I know if you take a language class, I don't know how far you are, but right now in my French class, we're learning French culture. And it's kind of hard whenever our teacher talks to us about what happens in France and all of these different, you know, slang. We wonder, why does this happen? And it's just so, it's hard to learn and it's hard to remember because it's so different from us. But my criticism there is that we're not really learning the values. They're just being given to us and we have to sort of remember them for our own sake. And we just lose it because we're not really immersed into it that effectively. And we weren't taught that effectively. And so instead of maybe like telling us French culture and values, we should learn to experience it. We should talk to people and we should get a more clear understanding of what the French people believe in. But the only reason I'm bringing that up is that I think that foreigners who want to become a citizen of America should learn American values in a similar way. And I don't think that a paper test could do that necessarily that well. And if they do want a paper test, they should definitely reform it. But I mean, that's just part of the criticism. You know, becoming a citizen is pretty difficult, but that, again, that does not mean, it doesn't give you the right to do something that's illegal. Just because something is hard doesn't mean that you can give up and that you can do what's easiest for you. Because bottom line is, it's still a crime. And are we ready to tell people that it's okay to be a criminal? And that's a very harsh statement, but it's something that is true. And it is the message that we're sending, that even though you crossed the border illegally, it's okay because there's so many of you and it's so inconvenient that we just can't deal with it. So we're just going to let this one slide. I don't know if we're necessarily ready or that it's necessarily right at this time to do something like that, especially during these all these fears of illegal immigrants. And I'm not even justifying those fears. I'm not saying that it's right to be scared of people that are not from your country, because I think that's totally wrong. And there's no real substance in that fear. But at the same time, we're not ready. I mean, me personally, I'm not ready to say to have this value implemented that you can do something that's illegal if you make it inconvenient enough for those people that make it illegal. so that way you don't get charged with anything. I mean, the philosophy that it's not illegal if you don't get caught, I have a huge problem with that theory. And we also do have to be careful with who is in our country. But at the same time, we're not really giving this, we're not shedding light on the whole picture, you know. We still let criminals, American criminals, become citizens. And if we start becoming that specific and that selective, it's going to get pretty difficult. Not necessarily that we shouldn't get that selected and that specific, but I mean, I don't know. Is it good for diversity to happen? I think diversity is a nice thing to have. But at the same time, we shouldn't do something illegal for the sake of something better. Like, you can't be redeemed for your crime if it makes it better for mankind in general. Because if you start to think that, and, you know, it does happen in history a lot, but if you start to think that, you're always going to think that you're the exception to the rule and that it's okay for me to cross the border because it's good for mankind. It's going to give us this value that'll progress society. I mean, we're not all exceptions to the rule. And bottom line, this is sort of a mob rule thing right now with illegal immigrants. I mean, there are 11 million immigrants, illegal immigrants. And so I wonder if we're going to let, if there were maybe only 100,000 illegal immigrants, if it would be a lot harder for America to consider letting somebody do something illegal for the sake of convenience. I guess I really don't know my opinion on this. I'm just juggling all these different ideas. I'm having a hard time piecing them together into one specific idea. But I guess we just have to agree on a goal. I guess America has to agree on what they want to do. And I think that's the problem in general. I think the problem with society in general is that not a lot of people are, we're not making use of all of the knowledge in our society. And this is, again, something that I learned in school, that people have knowledge, we have opinions, and we have experience. We just don't know how to necessarily use that. And I think that the media and I guess ourselves are to blame for what we give attention to and what kind of knowledge we accept and deny. But I think maybe if we start to look at this at a less narrow perspective, then maybe we could get some answers here. But I would like to hear your opinion on this too. So remember to email my show, voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. Mention my name, Mackenzie Urias, and mention the name of my show, America Today. Well, that's going to do it for me. Thanks for joining us. Listen to the show weekly on voiceamericakids.com. And contact us at voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. Again, just mention my name. And I'll answer any response. And I look forward to hearing this. So keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Thanks again for being a part of America Today. We'll be back next week with more discussion of the news and politics that are shaping our future on the Voice America Kids channel.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
The future of online TV is here.
View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.